Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Jane Oates, the Assistant Secretary for the Employment and Training Administration at the Labor Department.
Veterans put in their military job code. You're in the Army and you're a 91B. Put that into My Next Move for Veterans, and you can get all the jobs that utilize those skills in the civilian workforce so that we can target your work search to those specific employers.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Continuing congressional coverage is brought to you by United Technologies, trusted to carry you to the top of the world's tallest skyscrapers, across oceans and into space. More at utc.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tracy Graves Stevens. She is the president and CEO of a company called Innovus. Good morning, Tracy. How are you today?
I am fine. Good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
I just slipped that word in real quickly, Innovus. I just want the listeners to know that the website is INNOVISS. So that's two N's. Two S's and a V for victory. So that's an easy to remember that URL,
yes,
isn't
it? Yes, it is.
So Innovus is a strange company. It's a new old company. It's like, oh, wait a minute, let me get this straight. He's a tall, short guy? Yeah. It's that fat, skinny guy? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a new old company. And I like to talk about maybe paradoxes. And I think this is a perfect paradox we have here, you know? We have a new old company that deals in the world of federal IT technology and services. And I thought we'd bring Tracy in. She could talk about her experience. And she has a considerable experience in many different aspects of federal IT, and I thought the listeners could maybe get some insight from her on maybe healthcare, on maybe moving ahead and making a transition to new types of technology, because I did my research on Tracy, and Tracy is very well respected in the industry, and she's got a reputation for understanding some practical aspects of making changes in technology, but still maintaining security and compliance. So that's why we brought her in here. So Tracy, let's find out a little about your background. I kind of pumped you up and told you about this 20 years of a lot of success. Tell us how you wound up running Innovus.
Well, it's interesting how you have one plan and other things seem to take form. And I'm actually a Washingtonian. Washingtonian is what I say. So I've grown up in the Washington, D.C. area.
Maybe my first guest.
Yes. And this big realm called the federal government. And both of my parents were civil servants. And so it was just in my DNA to also start working for the federal government as well. So I started as an intern supporting the intelligence community while I was in college.
That's what I want my kids to hear this interview.
All right.
Look,
great job.
She didn't start off as a CEO. You mean you didn't start off as a CEO?
I actually started in the mailroom. So I probably started in the bottom
place.
I want
my daughter to listen to this one. Brittany said, no, it's just, no, just is good. Just, it's good. You want to know. You know, that's the place to start.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so actually, I cut my teeth, really wasn't planning on staying with the government. But there's this new little thing called the desktop computer that was starting to evolve. And so I quickly changed my major to computer science because I was really fascinated by just technology and software, and stayed at the government for a little while. But then the whole IT wave started really taking on some energy in the 80s, and so I transitioned into the private sector. That led me to leading a business division and eventually leading a small IT company called CTX Corporation.
So what happened is your background really is with, down in the weeds, understanding what the federal government's all about, and you took that ability and transferred it into the commercial area. And I think it's a good sensitivity for people to have. You know, I joke about that. I've done, 240 interviews. I don't know how many actually native Washingtonians I've had in the studio. So it's good to have someone who maybe has a sensitivity to what's going on here and maybe can see past this administration and the next administration and the previous administration and can take a mature perspective and go, hey, calm down. We've heard this before. And, you know, in the long-term interest of the federal government, here's what we have to do. I've seen this now. I've been in this town long enough to know that I can just sit back and say, okay, sit down, have a cup of coffee. Okay, you know, in the big picture, here's what's going to happen. I think that's the insight that you can give to my listeners. So tell me about this company, Innovus.
Innovus. So Innovus, we had what kind of led me to just getting into the lead position, I guess, with Innovus is the company that I did lead was acquired by one of the larger government contractors right after the wave of during that wave of acquisitions right after 9/11. And so while I was in this company, it was Mantic International, I was asked to go lead a very, very troubled division. And that troubled division was eventually divested, and I went along with the transaction. And so one of my objectives in going along with the transaction was to be able to rebrand and reconfigure the company. Since I have an IT background, I'm really excited about fixing stuff. And so I wanted it to be a company that really was very mission-oriented in fixing stuff, not just with technology, but with real solutions and real knowledge. And so long story short, that division, we eventually, about 2 years ago, renamed it to Innovus, reconfigured the company somewhat, acquired another company in San Antonio, Texas. And so here we are. And so Innovus really is very much targeted towards looking at solutions that have a technology bend, but also an understanding of operations and investigations and analytics.
So I'm not too far off by saying it's a new old company.
It really is a new old company.
Mm-hmm. There may be listeners that are familiar with MSM Security Services. Would that be possible? Maybe that might resonate with some listeners?
Yes. MSM Security Services actually has been around for over 30 years. Yeah.
And so you were at Mantec and running a division there, and that must have been MSM.
MSM.
And they decided to divest it, and you decide, hey, I'm going to slide on out and stay with MSM. And what's happened is probably you saw maybe a company that had very similar type services or services that melded real well with your offering, and this company was AIM Healthcare Solutions. Mm-hmm. And so instead of MSM AIM, you said, no, wait, let's let's tell us something different, huh?
Yeah, we're still working out the alphabet soup with all of the different divisions, but ultimately we are all Innovus, and the great news is they're very complementary divisions in the services that we offer.
That's the 2+2=5 scenario that can work, hard to pull off. It takes someone like you, maybe a veteran in the industry, to try to figure out the personalities involved. Maybe start with personalities and worry about the technology and see if there's a crossover. But the reason crossover, because I think maybe MSN had a strength with security, and maybe AM maybe has a strength with deploying secure solutions. So is that where you saw the fit?
Absolutely. I really look at, if you look at MSM, it is not the, I will say, the high-tech arm of the company. It really is the understanding of some of the challenges that we face in security, but also very much analytics. We have MSM has a cadre of folks that are all over the United States doing investigations. And these are very seasoned professionals that know how to take data, chunk it down into something logical, provide an output that we then chunk down further using technology to provide information and data to our customers. When we look at AIM USA in San Antonio, they very much are the integrators, the deployers. They're actually very much sometimes the brains behind some of the development of some of the IT solutions that we're preparing for our customers.
You know, I live next door to a person who is a high-level security clearance, will go unnamed. And I was cutting the grass once, and somebody in a suit walked up to me and said, how you doing? And I said, well, what's this all about? I want to ask you a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
And
could have been one of our guys.
It cost my neighbor $50. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, you have $50 to... No, there's obviously no problems at all. I mean, he's a real solid guy. But mm-hmm. I think this is part and parcel of some investigations that have to take place. I mean, let's not be silly here. There's risks everywhere, and risk mitigation is a factor in trying to figure that out. You mentioned HIMSS, I think. Is this one of the organizations you're members of, or tell me the organizations that Innovus participates in?
Well, HIMSS is actually has a close relationship with our customers. We support the Army Medical Command, and they're a very close relationship in showcasing technology solutions in the healthcare arena for the Army Medical Command. And so, you know, we as a provider of solutions in San Antonio, HIMSS is a conference where we really is a chance to say, here's a way you're doing it and here's a way to do something different. So we have recently, this past HIMSS conference, showcased our SharePoint tool because there's a wave within the government to do more consolidation and centralization of information and data. So that's right up our alley. And so we actually even utilize the HIMSS conference to push out the data for the agenda for the conference to people's iPhones or smart devices, their laptops, wherever it was that they needed to know where they needed to be. They could look at their phone, and we were actually one of the engines behind that conference and pushing that data out. So SharePoint we look at as a tool, but there's so many other tools that we look at as we're trying to head towards the virtualization and hardening of the networks, the cloud, as everyone is calling it now. But this is something that we've always been involved in before it became a sexy buzzword.
We'll take a break and then talk about sexy buzzword, the cloud, maybe talk about what the cloud is all about and how to transition to cloud, talk about security. I'd like to go back to the HIMSS conference because the HIMSS is much, much larger than some listeners may realize. I mean, there's thousands of people involved in healthcare technology, thousands and thousands, and it's really a whole interesting topic for many of my listeners. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Tracy Graves Stevens, President and CEO of Innovus.
Are you on Facebook? Do you Twitter? So does Federal News Radio. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio Facebook group. For the latest in federal news and government contracting, visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, Angie. Wow, you did it, didn't you? You went over to...
Mm-hmm. Went to Walmart and got the Pioneer DEH44 HD with built-in HD radio technology.
New HD2, HD3 channels, digital sound quality, and no subscription fees.
You got it. Hey, come on, let's ride. Since the Pioneer DEH44 HD is only $120 at Walmart, I'm taking you out for dinner.
Nice.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Now in the car audio department at Walmart.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
We raise high for GW basketball. Some raise high with the jump out of your seat, buzzer beating, hands to the sky scream. Others give their all in the GW fight song, Raising High the Buff and Blue. Raising High is more than just a movement. It's the movement for Colonials basketball, where senators and students, friends and families come together for the thrill of victory. Raise high with GW Basketball today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com now.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Department of Veterans Affairs says it's been able to increase the number of IT projects its staff are working on by 60%. VA says when it studied its IT projects, it found the people working on some of them were far busier than they were on other projects. IT employees now work in a competency model, moving their skills from project to project based on VA's needs and priorities at any given time. VA thinks it's also led to a more satisfied workforce. They say turnover right now is about half what it is in the private sector.
General Dynamics
Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
As an increased number of government agencies transform to a cloud infrastructure, IT is being viewed less as a product buy and more as a service. From acquisition and procurement to the SLAs that map them, the transition to storage, email, and infrastructure as a service stands to rewrite the basic processes of federal IT. Join AFSEA Bethesda and Dave McClure, the Associate Administrator at GSA, on November 16th at the Bethesda North Marriott to discuss how agencies are managing this transition. Register today at afseabethesda.org/NOVBreakfast.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Tracy Graves Stevens, who is the president and CEO of a local company called Innovis. Innovis, if you want to Google that, find out more information and find out about the some of the events they're participating in, and we've had a couple events we'll talk about later on the show, kind of exciting for giving back to the community. What a strange concept that is, giving back to the federal community. But before we talk about give backs, we have to talk about your core competencies, because there may be listeners who maybe heard about you or saw a trade show and they're scratching their head and they're going, health IT, consolidation, it's just, you know, did they do everything? Oh, no, they don't do everything. They have core capabilities. And I think one of the core capabilities is we talked about, a cloud system or some kind of a network system, making a transition or a change and doing it in a secure fashion. I think that's, you know, if you had, a 30-second TV spot, that's probably the two things you'd say, huh, Tracy?
Absolutely, absolutely. We really look at consolidation and centralization of our operations and data, but more importantly, how do you secure the data that is transiting over your network? Those are really the things that have become the key. Those are when you think of the cloud, that's what our clients are talking about, is they are getting into more centralized data centers with more access to virtual data points into those data centers. But the biggest fear is, how do you set someone that's in, you know, Idaho trying to access a network in Washington, D.C. and feel very secure, very comfortable that the data that is going across that network is secure? Those are the areas that are our specialty areas.
And I think if we try to take out the buzzwords, which are real popular, I mean, the transition was service-oriented architecture, SOA, to cloud. Now we hear big data. And, I think Tracy's been around long enough to earn her stripes to know, you know, we have computer networks here, and maybe it's more efficient to consolidate them. And let's not forget about security. And so I think if you boil it down to simple concepts like that, you don't get all worked up about, hey, you got to move to cloud. I know the cloud first is the initiative. I know that. But what about the other firsts out there? What about security first? What about maybe, making a transition in a fashion that doesn't cost more money than we're doing it now?
Absolutely. You know, my background is being in the Department of Defense in the Intel community. One of the things that a lot of the things that are now buzzwords are actually always have been issues that we've addressed probably since I've been developing systems, 15, 20 years ago. It really is you have limited budget, you have limited resources, and now we are challenging ourselves is we want our data quicker, faster, shorter, and graphics are all now attached and everything. And so it's really building an infrastructure that's able to handle that bandwidth, to be able to handle the load, to keep the bad guy out that would like to get to the data, but also to make sure in this culture where we're all connected via, iPads and iPhones and laptops and so many other devices, to make sure we are not internally accidentally letting go of information that wasn't intended to go outside of your network.
Yeah, and that's a very discreet phrase for electronic medical records.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
yes,
how
yes.
discreet are you going to be here? I mean, if you're involved in healthcare IT, I think you may have tattooed on your left arm, you got to be careful. You have to be careful with information because there are certain standards. And let's face it, there's legal issues here involved, what you're allowed to send and what you're not allowed to send. And if you get your iPad and you go and read the Washington Post, well, that's all fine and dandy. And if a doctor's in a hospital and may want to look at your electronic health record on an iPad, that's fine and dandy too. But there's whole complete different ecosystems that are completely, aren't there?
Yes, yes. Personally identifiable information is one of those areas we've not only seen in the healthcare realm, but also just in doing some of the analytics for risk mitigation. Theft of people's personal information is actually a very, very big issue, not just for the folks that just want to create a new identity, but just for, in this world of national security and terrorism, those that want to learn more about U.S. citizens and folks that are providing support to the government. So, when we started the mission of looking at the offerings that we wanted to take to our customers, it really was, that was the mission that we were trying to fix. Those are the things that they're struggling with, and those are the areas. It's all cybersecurity in a very general sense, but there are a lot of pockets within cybersecurity and healthcare IT of support that we think we can drill down and provide some solutions for.
One obvious pocket, and I'm just trying to put two and two together here, is if one part of your organization's got a strength with security, the other one's got a strength with healthcare, combine healthcare and security, where you can see the strengths and weaknesses, maybe you can assist with healthcare fraud as well.
Absolutely. And actually, that you probably, and I'm not paying you to say this, John, but I would come over there and give you a dollar for that. Because
well,
when
I want more than a dollar.
A little bit more than a dollar. But honestly, that when we really started chewing on the MSM Security Services, AIM USA, all the talent we have within the company, that really is the probably at the end of the day, the areas we're really targeting. It's risk mitigation is what we call it, but it's risk mitigation from what? It's fraud, it's waste, it's abuse. It's really just negative impacts on things, data that you just don't want to be misused or fall into the wrong hands.
You know, this morning before the interview, I fired up my little Google box and I typed in INNOVISS, and I got your website, of course. I saw all kinds of job offerings looking for people to work. I mean, there's lots of jobs that you're offering and all kinds of jobs. And I keep thinking of my 20-year-old daughter and saying, now how can Tracy appeal to someone like my daughter? Why would one of my kids want to work for you? And you know what? I think with the younger generation, you can talk about, retirement plans and long-term security, and you get to work with someone smart like Tracy. But the motivator might be, hey, Brittany, maybe you can prevent someone from scamming your tax dollars. Maybe mm-hmm. you can prevent someone from scamming out of $20 million. That would motivate someone.
I would hope. I think the things that we're working on, we don't mind investing back in the company and research and development. We are also a company, we say we eat our own dog food, so there's not much that we offer to our
That's
customers.
That's not going to appeal to my daughter.
Oh, no. that we utilize the same technology we offer to our customers within the company. And quite frankly, and you can just let Brittany know, we are a fun company to work for. She's going to have to bring her tennis shoes because we also love to eat a lot of meals. We do a lot of strategy planning, sitting around the table, just talking about what are the things that are out here that people are talking about? And usually it involves a meal because we think it takes time. We want people to have their best thinking caps on as we're addressing these issues.
When you look at the obvious tsunami of mobile devices coming to the federal government, I'm sure if we go up the road, go up to NIH, you're going to see a tsunami of mobile devices going in up there. I would think that would be a concern for most people who are talking to you about healthcare records and security. I mean, it has to be a big component of what we're looking at you doing this year.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And interestingly enough, the tsunami of mobile devices, we address that even in our own network in the sense that I still haven't allowed, the IT team still won't let me attach my iPad to our network yet because they see some issues. And I don't want to say that it's anything against the iPad. It's just that we really do look at all of the security nuances, making sure the productivity software has the security hooks in it. So if you open up a Microsoft Word document, for instance, it may have healthcare or personal information in it, that it doesn't have any holes that allow somebody to access that data in any back door. So, you know, we evaluate all of this. And, you know, unfortunately, but this is why we spend a lot of time strategizing on how do we stay in front of it. These mobile devices and all of these devices, they evolve and they are evolving so quickly. You have to really work hard to stay in front of it.
Yeah, it's I'm a lot older than you, and I can remember you'd put a security standard on a piece of paper, and it's okay, that's a security standard. Now, wait a minute. I mean, if you just look at what's happened in the last 2 or 3 months with Android and new versions of Android, and now Microsoft has a product out mm-hmm. called Mango, and then don't forget about the iPad and about the iPhone and what's Nokia doing and mobile, you know, it's very difficult. I don't know how any one human can keep up with security risks involved in a quickly changing environment like that. And oh, by the way, these are personal health records. And if you let these out to the public, Tracy, you're going to get fired.
And absolutely. And that's actually why the whole aspect of virtualizing the network is one we're putting a lot of energy behind. It's funny. I've been in the field long enough to see the dumb terminal connected to the big, you know, mainframe somewhere. And interestingly enough, when all of these devices and all of the standards that you have to put in place to address these devices, what I'm starting to see is a trend towards more simplification of not necessarily the dumb terminal, but maybe a lower profile device connected to a consolidated network on the back end. And then you identify through compliance testing devices that you will allow to access that data store on the back end. That really is what the cloud is. I mean, the cloud is very much in that sense of the mainframe server concept.
Sure sounds like a thin client to me. We'll take a break and talk about thin clients and fat clients and security and making a transition, all within some compliance to healthcare regulations. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tracy Graves Stevens, President and CEO of Innovus.
The Washington Caps and Skydex Technologies have teamed up to raise money for the TAPS organization through the sale of Courage Caps and T-shirts. TAPS is a tragedy assistance resource for anyone who has suffered the loss of a military loved one in service to our country. Courage Caps and T-shirts go on sale Saturday, November 12th. Help support the families and loved ones of our honored military men and women. Visit washingtoncaps.com/couragecaps for more information.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
The Obama administration's proposal to carve the prescription drug benefit out of the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program might actually be the beginning of the end of FEHB. Feds are worried it could mean the end of that program as they know it, but not without a fight. One consultant says there isn't a single study from GAO, CBO, or any other source that shows this proposal would save money. I'm Amy Morris.
These are hard times for federal employees. A multi-year pay freeze, rumors of furloughs, and discussions on reducing benefits are the realities that all federal employees face. Now more than ever, it's important to find ways to save your hard-earned money. One way is with life insurance from WEPA. WEPA offers lower rates and a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. To learn how much you can save, visit waepa.org. Once again, that's waepa.org. The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has told Congress that more defense cuts that go deeper are going to force the Pentagon to cut back on construction projects for the Navy, and they may have to furlough civilian workers and leave the military with the smallest force since 1940. Panetta says that's what would likely happen if the Congressional Super Committee fails to come up with a deficit-cutting plan by November 23rd. I'm J.J. Green.
Airmen, we're on our way.
At EADS North America, we help our country respond to emergencies and natural disasters.
We see you. We're coming in.
From coordinating communications to medevac and emergency response, we provide the mission-critical systems our country demands. Every day, we support homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe.
Patient secure. ETA 10 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
A new company with more than 50 years of experience, ITT Defense is now ITT Excellus. The reliable, flexible partner you've come to know is now tightly focused on providing innovative, essential C4ISR solutions and information and technical services. Work with a true partner, ready to solve your challenges with situational agility and a record of rapidly fielding affordable solutions. Experience the power of ingenuity at excellusinc.com.
As the single largest generator of jobs for the Department of Defense, Lockheed Martin's F-35 represents more than just innovation and freedom. It's an advanced technology program that fuels our nation's economic engine. As a leading-edge fighter, the F-35 has unprecedented capabilities that will help America and its allies defend freedom. And it's creating direct and indirect jobs for over 120,000 Americans and impacting more than 1,300 suppliers in 47 states across the U.S., software developers in California, steel workers in Pennsylvania, and engineers in Georgia are all working to secure our skies. The F-35 Lightning II program, securing freedom, securing jobs, securing America's future. To learn more, visit F-35.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio live, Tracy Graves Stevens. She is the president and CEO of a company called Innovus. And I know it's kind of hard to spell, especially if you're in your car listening or something and writing it down. You want to search it. You can search under INNOVISS and get more information, maybe download a white paper or see what kind of conferences are going to participate in the future. Let's talk about my listeners here. So typical federal IT professional, they're looking down the pipeline. They're saying, well, you know, my budget's going to get pulled back and maybe get staff pulled back. And guess what? I got to make this big transition. I got to worry about security with my this iPads and iPhones. You know, I read an interview with Tracy did about 2-3 months ago, and she quoted this character named Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill said, now we've run out of money, so we have to start thinking. And so I think many of my listeners are in the Winston Churchill position of, hey, we're running out of money. Now we have to start thinking, and we have to think how we can creatively make this transition. And that's where your company fits in.
Absolutely. Companies like Innovus, and, you know, just a lot of the companies here, but I think we really have worked hard to make sure we're a fairly flat organization. It's not much for folks within the organization to be able to just touch me and touch the executive management staff. We do a lot of huddling. And it really is to when we're anticipating the budget crunches that are going on and just all of the problems that are out there, we try to figure out ways that we can be very, very agile and responsive to the customer need. We can respond very quickly. If someone came to us and said, we're struggling with this, it doesn't take much for us to get, you know, our chief IT person on the line with the team in San Antonio, and we're huddled around, you know, a web conference really trying to say, how can we address this problem and provide a solution very quickly? The challenge that I see going forward, though, with government and just government contracting in general, I think we're going to start to see a trend because of the budget constraints with a lot more fixed price work coming down the bin. I think I've said it before, but the consolidation and centralization is still going to be an issue that all government customers are really dealing with. You're starting to see, with the BRAC, we're starting to see areas close down in favor of consolidation in other areas. And so there's just a trend which impacts workforces like ours in a very big way. So we really do have to anticipate if we have a concentration of employees in one area, how they're going to support their programs if that program gets moved into another location.
And the same concern that my listeners have, mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's DISA moving to Maryland or was it's the big office building open up on 395, I mean, the BRAC has affected a lot of different people. And I think because, you know, parts of your organization have been around for such a long time, they have seen changes and alterations in the past and managed to provide solutions that can accommodate a lot of changes, a lot of trending terms that come and go, and still support the federal IT professional in a secure fashion.
Yes, yes. One big trend I'm seeing in larger entities, and I've seen it in previous lives, and we're looking at this in Innovus, is the traditional professional services company is really also starting to combine their offerings with a tool or product offering. And so when you really look at that, and I call it the nose under the tent, you have a tool that leads you into a space. Then once you get inside, then you can provide ongoing support with the services. I really see a lot of services firms having that combination factor. It's something that we have always done, but it really is to try to address the smaller footprint of what our government has in resources to spend.
So what advice can you give my listeners who are looking at restricted budget, restricted employees, and maybe different assignments on top of all that restriction?
I really would recommend that one challenge that we run into is we've always done it this way. And it really is, we've always provided solutions this way. We've always had certain requirements this way. Even when we look at how background investigations are done,
we've all done a step by step. And that's how we've always done it, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Maybe none of it's worked.
Yes, and we've always done it that way. And so the challenge that I see is us on the side of the fence trying to provide solutions is to anticipate different ways of doing it so that when you have that one opportunity, that one audience with the customer to say, have you thought about this? Have you tried this? That's where we put our energy in really trying to build that knowledge base. There are so many different ways with technology to get it there quicker, faster, better. It's just taking the time to understand, to evaluate what those different paths are.
You know, before the interview, we were speaking in the green room, and you mentioned that your company is an agile company. And I keep thinking, oh, well, I'm in the world of software development, so everything involves around me and everything revolves around agile software. No, John, take a step back. Maybe it's got to do with business process, and maybe it's got something to do with working with human beings. Maybe agility means being open-minded to different ways to solve a problem. Maybe agility means not following the 30 steps, looking for the result first. And I guess that's what software development agility means, looking for the result first, rather than we've always done it this way. And I think that's an innovation that Innovus mm-hmm. can provide is let's step out of the box here and say, okay, you've always done it that way. What is the end result? You want the person to get a security clearance? I mean, how can we achieve this in an effective way and maybe in an economical way?
Absolutely. I like an innovation to like a receiver receiving the ball in football. And I'm by no sports an expert in that area. But when a receiver receives a football, they look for the gaps and they look for the fastest line to get to the goal line. And that really is innovation. And it's not necessarily the same path every time. And it may not necessarily be the play that was discussed before the players hit the field.
So if you're sitting in someone's office and they say to you, well, Tracy, we have a mandate. We got to go to the cloud first. You may say, you know, I respect your opinion, but what about, you know, web services first? What about going virtual first? What about security first? Maybe if you achieve virtual first and security first, the cloud will come along with it.
Absolutely. The problem I see with cloud becoming this commodity is that you really have to address security first and what it is you're trying to accomplish. If you look at a virtual office, I'll even use as our footprint with Innovus, and of course the federal government's much larger than that. But, you know, our biggest challenge was just making sure at the most simplistic form, our folks could get to their timesheet every week and fill it out without incident quickly and, you know, the folks on site and off site. But there's personal data that's in that system. So how do you protect it? So really think about what your requirements are. You might not need something as complex as a cloud. It could very well be just a website, a SharePoint portal somewhere. Really think about your requirements, but I think really lead with security because that's really the larger issue.
Well, it's not going to be a piece of paper. It's not going to be an Excel spreadsheet. I know that.
No.
And it's going to have to be something that gives a lot of flexibility and allows different levels of access. And maybe a SharePoint solution might be the right solution. But wait a minute, let's take a look at the problem first. You know, let's not take the solution off the shelf until we look at what the end result must be. And maybe SharePoint doesn't fit. I mean, mm-hmm. there's tons of other solutions that I've seen. And I'm a proponent of SharePoint, but I don't see it for everyone everywhere.
No, I agree.
Well, we take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the crystal ball. We have a certified crystal ball here. We're going to have Tracy gaze into it and talk about the future of IT with the federal government, maybe about some of the concerns with health IT and where that whole area is going, maybe some solutions that her organization may be able to provide, and maybe get some up-close and personal information about her technology background. Really, what's it really like? You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're speaking with Tracy Graves Stevens, President and CEO of Innovus.
The Cloud Conundrum, Public, Private, or Both? A panel discussion with experts from government and industry, sponsored by Brocade. Panelist Anthony Robbins, Vice President of Federal Sales, Brocade.
The world today is going to spend about $40 billion on information technology capabilities to enable the cloud. By the year 2020, the world is going to spend in excess of $244 billion on information technology to enable the cloud. And so I can assure you what the commercial IT companies like Brocade are going to do is they're going to begin all of their development efforts and all their R&D alignment to enable the cloud capabilities.
Cloud innovations are here. Is your network optimized? Accelerate to the cloud with Brocade's new technology and business models. Brocade's cloud-optimized solutions provide a foundation to help organizations migrate to private clouds. What does this mean to your agency? Increased utilization, simplified management, and an agile organization. That's why Brocade solutions are used in over 90% of global 1,000 data centers. Learn how Brocade will transition your organization to a virtualized world. Go to federalnewsradio.com. Search Cloud.
Here's Eric Raffin, Executive Director, Field Operations, VA Office of Information and Technology, on the Federal Executive Forum on Trusted Identities and Identity Management, sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton.
We always hear healthcare researchers saying, if I only had more longitudinal information, all of the health information that somebody can bring with them when they have an issue, when they have an unexpected illness, when they show up in the emergency room, these are tremendous weaknesses. And they put our healthcare professionals, and not just in VA, this is really, you know, a global issue, at a disadvantage.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Today, computer attacks are more frequent, distributed, easy to mount, persistent, and disruptive than ever before. Some sectors are doing a better job than others in proactively addressing these concerns, though most do so following an attack. Booz Allen Hamilton believes that incentives which may or may not currently exist can stimulate greater corporate investment in proactive cybersecurity protection measures. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expert. Voices.
Remember when you tried doing something for the first time? You probably weren't very good at it. On a scale of stinko to virtuoso, chances are you were right down there. But you kept at it, and soon you went from not so hot to halfway decent. Kaiser Permanente reminds you we all start out as beginners, stumbling over our feet, going right instead of left, swinging and missing. So whatever you're curious about, tennis or horseback riding, playing guitar or pole dancing, softball or soccer, forget about being perfect and focus on the fun. The rest will fall into place. So come on, stumblers, bumblers, listen up. It's okay to stink. Just start. Kaiser Permanente. We want you and your interests to thrive. Visit kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion-resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tracy Graves Stevens. She's the president and CEO of a company called Innovus. I know it's a hard one to write down, maybe a hard one to listen to, but if you get at your browser, you can type in Innovis and get the company information. We've been talking about federal healthcare IT, making the transition, different systems, security. But I think many listeners really want to know if you're a card-carrying nerd. And so what I'm going to do is give you my patented 10-question test, and then we'll ferret out the information and determine whether you're not a card-carrying nerd. So, Tracy, the year of your first computer, please.
I believe it was 1982 or 83, whenever the first one was available, I had
it. Whoa, that's big points. That's significant. That's good. The year of your first cell phone.
Whenever the first one was available, I had it, so...
Wow, and she's getting high on this scale so far. She is a nerd. She gives all her friends. All her friends are going to abandon her.
It was in a big purse, I think I recall.
And operating system on your machine at home?
I actually have Windows 7 at home.
I might have lost some points. And type of home connection is the standard one, cable, Fios, standard?
Fios.
Yeah, that's standard. And type of mobile phone you have? Smartphone, or what do you have?
I am one that has an Android phone. I have an iPhone, and then I just have a regular old phone sometimes when they don't get a connection.
Multifonal. Wow, that's a new one. And let's take your iPhone. How many apps do you have on your iPhone?
Oh, I think I have hundreds.
More points.
Yes.
And do you have any of the tablet devices, iPad, Kindle?
I have an iPad. I have a Kindle.
Wow, you got a laptop, one of everything.
I got a Chevy,
I got a Ford, I got a Yugo, I got everything.
My nickname is Gadget Girl for
Gadget
a reason.
Gadget Girl. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
Facebook and Twitter.
And Twitter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have a LinkedIn presence too, because I saw it this morning.
Oh, yes, LinkedIn, yes.
And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
It probably was electronic.
You got the high nerd scale.
Yes.
This is not a bad nerd rating. If you had Unix on your machine at home, I think you'd really top out.
I would love to have Unix on my machine at home. I used to be a Unix developer, so.
And no one said Unix yet, but I figured that would really move the scale. Or I had one person say that I can't even count the number of apps I have. Well, or they'd go screen by screen by screen.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a fun little lighthearted approach to technology. And I have to preface the light with the serious, and now we got to get more serious and talk about money and the federal government and healthcare IT and programs being pulled back. And maybe in the next 6 to 8 months, maybe we'll see some serious pullback of funding for healthcare IT. And I hope maybe some of the transitions that people are planning now might get dashed. And we may really go from, having a restricted budget to serious hard times. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to get out the crystal ball here. And you've been around. You've seen federal IT from many different perspectives, many decades. Where do you think this whole thing's going to head? And what kind of transitions do you see making place in the next 5 to 10 years in the federal government, especially in terms of networks and federal healthcare IT?
Well, I think, we're already starting to see in the part of our business that supports the Department of Defense, we are already starting to get the little rumblings of, just get ready. They're hiring less. So, the background investigation business that we have is working on a smaller cadre of new cases. We're starting to see the energy we're seeing is probably not so much less resources and it's budgetary resources in healthcare IT is more as a shift in prioritization. So from where we sit in looking at risk mitigation and doing fraud analytics and all of those things, you know, there's this whole thrust towards trying to save as much money before it gets out the door. So when you look at there's $60 billion or so that's lost in just fraudulent claims and healthcare claims.
We're starting number 60 billion.
60 billion was the last number that I had seen.
Wow.
So when you look at that type of loss, we're starting to see a lot more energy and basically shoring up the systems and the policies to make sure vendors and providers are more compliant. That really is where the e-health record initiatives are going. And so we're looking to see how we can play there. And that's really why I think healthcare IT has so much popularity right now.
You know, when I first got married, I got paid once a month, and my wife was a stay-at-home mom. And towards the end of the month, I started counting those pennies.
Absolutely.
I started looking at maybe we won't maybe slide over here and go out to eat, or maybe we'll pull back, or hey, we'll cook tonight or something. And I see that's what's happening, and I hate to make this silly illustration of a home budget, but I think it's getting about the third week of the month, and you get paid at the end of the month, and people looking back saying, well, you know, let's take a look at this healthcare fraud. Maybe that can pay for a lot of the transitions here. Maybe the boat's leaking,
mm-hmm.
and let's go downstairs and take a look. And I think it gets to be more serious, and especially when finances come and people start getting much more serious about, well, geez, maybe we could make this transition to managing mobile devices if we had 10% of the $60 billion that's being lost.
Yes, and I think that's a great analogy when you look at your home budget, is that there are obvious areas where their savings can be found. And there it's just taking the time to really look at all where's the money going and identifying what those areas are and shoring them up so that you don't, at least you may not make more money, but at least you won't lose additional money.
And that's why I bring up the monthly budget, because it's analogous to the budget that federal agencies have.
Absolutely.
I mean, they know how much they have the coming year, and they know that they had a New Year's Eve party here on October 1st and all kinds of fun. And it's not the time of year they worry about it, but maybe it should be, because I can see big changes. I mean, you know, it's like the animals can sense an earthquake coming and they run inside or something. I sense big changes taking place, and I think everyone's going to have to do much more with less and have to take a look at going outside the box and maybe not going through the checklist, looking at objectives first and finding out the best way to hit those objectives. One thing that differentiates your company is that you try to empathize with some federal workers and federal people and try to give back to the community. And one of these concepts you can find at your website at INNOVISS is this thing for golf, this Birdies thing. What's this thing all about?
Actually, we're a big supporter of Birdies for the Brave, which is actually a charitable organization founded by Phil Mickelson and the PGA Tour. It supports 6 home front charities, and we just recently had our big golf tournament this past Monday, and this has been one of the most successful ones by far. We've had a great time, but it really is for a great cause, for wounded warriors and their families, and just tremendous support, Homes for Our Troops. There are just a number of organizations. So if you do go to our website, INNOVISS, you'll also see some additional information on Birdies for the Brave. And we actually like to say we take our business personally, so we take our community even more personally. And so we actually are a big supporter of Men Against Breast Cancer. They're going to be having their fundraising event at Macy's Department Store next Wednesday, actually. And this really is an organization to support men who are supporting the women in their lives that are going through cancer. So we like to give back. We think it's our civic duty because we've been blessed with so much.
Well, maybe that's what you learned in 20 years working with federal IT professionals, is that maybe it's not a one-way street.
Absolutely. Yes.
Maybe you can go in and have open ears where people have closed ears. Maybe you can see things that they don't see because there's empathy there. I mean, you know, there's boots on the ground, and then, no, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. I can empathize with your problem. No, Tracy, you don't understand. No, I'm Tracy. I understand. No, I really, really understand. I worked in the mail room over at a federal agency when I was 19 years old. I mean, I think that's going to communicate. It's going to resonate with the people you sit down with, isn't it?
Yes. There's not much that phases me, I think, because I have grown up in this area and just seen the impacts. I've seen the wave of budget cuts. I've seen the wave of, you know, robust success, and And honestly, this is going to pass too. So we're going to journey through this fiscal time that we're in now, and we're going to still be standing as a nation.
I think it's good to partner with a small, flexible organization that can work with you in achieving some of your needs, whether it's making a transition in healthcare IT, whether it's security services, or whether it's just designing secure systems using thin clients that can adapt well and can provide security. I think it's fascinating that your own IT team is preventing you from making any mistakes with a mobile device. Maybe they should take that advice and apply it to maybe my company, but I'm not going to say that. I think there's some opportunities for growth in all kind of areas here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gill right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today was Tracy Graves Stevens, President and CEO of Innovus. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you very much, John.
Been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Get the latest news on over 90 different agencies. Check out federalnewsradio.com's new agency page for the news most important to you. Find it at federalnewsradio.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2
Washington.
This paid
commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individuals.